Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Hello, our friends. This is Penn Jillette, Michael Godeau, Vintage Nude Studio, Las Vegas, Nevada, United States of America, planet Earth. I always like when I go into our town. And today's story day, Godeau.
Story day.
Screw the news.
Ignore world events.
Ignore everything. This is our little world here. And I just want us to tell some of our favorite stories, because I alluded to them a while ago. These stories all pop up because these stories are part of every human being has their own mythology.
Sure.
Every human being has their own stories that they tell themselves and tell others. It's part of who we are. It's how we define our character. And almost all of mine involve genital torture.
Perhaps the most memorable ones.
I am not going to tell the blow dryer story.
You're saving it.
Blow dryer story I'm saving. I'm thinking maybe on the one-year anniversary I will tell the blow dryer story. For those of us in the Chicago...
January 3rd, 2007.
Yeah, January 3rd, 2007. I may tell the blow dryer story. The blow dryer story will take a full... show. A full hour will be just blow dryer story with all the details. I told it on, for those of you in Chicago, I told it on Steve Dahl's show. I told the whole blow dryer story. Took me like a whole hour of his show. I told the blow dryer story. Steve has replayed it like six times. But since that telling in Chicago, I think I'm even better at telling the story. And it was...
A few more details have come back into your memory, is that?
Well, yes, or I made them up.
Okay.
One or the other. Either one is just as good.
Exactly.
But these are the stories that define me. You know, I try to go on the air and I talk about atheism, blah, 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 blah. I talk about, you know, about being a libertarian, and
sure.
I misquote the Constitution, and I misquote many, many famous people. And I do all that. But the stories that define me are these stories. I'm going to talk about the time I was in a cage with a million bees. It was one of... Now, this is the part that's so interesting.
Again, you point out that you're not a drinker.
Not a drinker.
Don't do any drugs.
No, not.
And yet somehow you're in a cage with a million bees.
Exactly. And the other thing that's surprising is that I may be the only one who didn't know instantly that was a bad idea. Way back years ago, mm-hmm. we were doing a special for NBC called Don't Try This at Home. And we had a big stunt for the ending, which was I was going to drive a tractor trailer over Teller's chest.
Sure.
That was going to be the big stunt. We had a tractor trailer out in front of Radio City Music Hall. We closed off 6th Avenue, and I drove an 18-wheeler over Teller's chest. That was the big stunt. That was the big stunt. And, of course, we gave it away, like we did the submarine on the special recently. We showed how we did it. And a big stunt and showing how we did it, that's a standard Penn and Teller thing. And the truck was weighted in a really cool way. It had really cool weights on it, fake tires. And I had to drive an 18-wheeler on 6th Avenue in New York, which was, of course, the dangerous part of the whole thing. And Teller got his chest driven over, and that was the big finish, and ta-da, and everybody was thrilled. But early on, we needed something in the top half
sure.
of the show to really push. So we decided that we would talk about Siegfried and Roy, make fun of them, and said that they have produced, you know, many, many wild animals in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And the gag was going to be, it's simple, linear build joke, no big deal. The gag was going to be, they have produced, let's say, 50 different tigers, but over 30 years and 12 shows a week, they've produced probably 5,000 dangerous animals. We are going to produce a million dangerous animals. Then Teller and I, in our suits, with no protection whatsoever, we're going to produce bees, honeybees. Okay?
Right.
So we had this thing set up in our practice space, which was this enclosed plastic container.
Good
okay?
idea.
That we put in. We buy bees. And we put them in there. And the idea was that they sting to protect their hive or their queen. So we would take them away from their hive and their queen, and they wouldn't sting us. That's the way it looked on paper. Now, we know that there's anaphylactic shock. Am I saying that right?
What is it? Anaphylactic, yeah.
Anaphylactic shock. So we went to doctors. And we got tested. Now, you can get tested to see if you're allergic to one or two bee stings.
Sure.
But over one or two, they don't know. All bets are off. And Mr. Godeau, Mr. Science, do you know how you die? Do you know how you die from bee stings?
Yeah, your diaphragm gets working, right?
No. You breathe perfectly.
Really?
You do smother, but you keep breathing. This is the sexy part, okay? What happens is your veins and arteries expand.
Sure, okay.
And your blood pressure goes to zero, and your heart keeps pumping. You keep breathing, but it's like trying to force from a river to a pond. Your blood doesn't move enough, and your whole body smothers.
Okay, wow.
It's very sexy. So we got all these tests mm-hmm. for bee venom. We had no strong allergic reaction. And then we got a nurse, a doctor, and an ambulance at the theater. We had a live audience.
Right.
Okay, at the theater. And we both had EpiPens around our necks. And we were told what the symptoms were. And we were going to be give us shots in our legs
right.
if we had any of these symptoms breathing heavy
sure,
and all that stuff.
Sure.
And then on top of all of that, they gave us speed. Because speed is a very important thing if you're going to be stung by a zillion bees to keep the heart pounding and keep the constricting of the veins.
Uh-huh.
So before we even went in, they gave us speed. And there's no better idea, right? There was no better idea than giving Penn Jillette speed before he goes live on TV.
Here.
I'm not allowed to have caffeine because I'm such a whack job, but they gave me speed.
Okay.
So there's a doctor out there who says, take these pills, and I am speeding like a freak. I'm like Johnny Cash in 68. and I can't even focus my eyes. And we go into this cage, and the two cameramen in there with us who have beekeeping outfits, right, to protect them. And they're shooting at us. They're shooting us. And then Teller, his thing was we were going to say, Siegfried and Roy, they produced one wild tiger. Well, here's one wild animal. And Teller, closed hand, bare-handed production,
sure.
produces a bee. And
nice.
It gets flies
away. Right
off. Now, during all these rehearsals, the smell of bee feces is an astonishingly sickly, sweet smell. And we got to know it
Honey-ish.
Really well. And there's like four entomologists that are loading up bees, and we're putting them in these cheesy magic props. And then he takes a hat and says, how about 1,000 bees, I say, and he
right.
dumps this hat onto me. Now, the bees were not stinging Teller, because Teller was dumping the bees. But he was dumping the bees on me where they were going into my collar, right? And they were going up my nose. And there's a shot during this where you see a bee fly into my mouth. I keep talking. It stings me on the roof of my mouth. And I spit out the stinger, And I was talking to Jane Curtin after that. And Jane Curtin said, I've never seen a tougher man in my life. You spit out a stinger and the part of the bee's ass that was attached to it, you spit it out and you kept talking. And I said, Jane, it wasn't bravery. I didn't want to have to do it again. Nothing was going to stop that take. So Teller keeps dumping bees on me. They sting my mouth. They sting the inside of my nose. They're stinging all over my collar. Every place Teller dumps them, they're stinging me. And I keep going. I get about 25 bee stings, okay?
Uh-huh. Okay?
Maybe a few more. Until they get like four. I get 25 bee stings. And then there's a live audience in New York, and this is why New Yorkers are so cool. There's a live audience of 800 people.
Sure.
Watching us in this cage. And then we have to go into this decompression chamber, the double.
The vacuum room.
Yeah. And we have to strip naked in front of everybody while they vacuum bees off us. A guy in a bee suit vacuums bees off us. And then we walk out naked in front of the whole audience. They put robes on us. The doctors come over and put pressure cuffs on us and check us out. And boom, it's a take. It's done. Now, we finish that whole thing.
Sure.
The whole day's done. And the welts from the bees are not that bad. There's 25 of them. The one in my mouth is horrible, But I kind of come out and I do okay. And we spend the rest of the day shooting. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we go home at 11
sure.
or 12 at night. And I go back to my apartment. At that time, I was living with a model, very, very attractive woman.
You mean a woman model, not a
yeah,
car.
Not a car. Carol Perkins was her name.
And okay.
We were a wonderful, wonderful woman. We were madly
nice
in love.
Gal.
She was terrific. Terrific, terrific guy.
Nice.
And there's this thing you do, like when you're getting ready for bed, maybe the woman you're living with is in washing her face or something.
Right.
And you kind of stand in the doorway and kind of talk to her about your day. And meanwhile, you kind of take your clothes off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I am talking to her and kind of taking my clothes off. I take my pants off. This is where the story gets really good. If you were wondering where this story's going, here's where it gets great. And I'm wearing boxer shorts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I pull my boxer shorts off, right? And the skin is attached to the boxer shorts. It is there like a thin, bloody paper healed onto the boxer shorts. So I pull down my boxer shorts, and with it comes some of my bloody skin. I don't know. I've read the FCC regulations, and I don't see bloody skin anywhere. It's a body part. Fine. Okay, we're fine. This is staying in very good taste, Patrick.
Really?
You hang in there. It's a story, okay? I lived through it, man. You can listen to the story. So I take my boxer shorts off, and I look up, and Carol is now looking at me.
Oddly enough.
And it's rather embarrassing. Because I've just shown her this horrible thing. So I look up, and because, you know, I can sometimes think fast, I say it's – she looks at me like, and she's disgusted, like Patrick is right now. And she looks at me, and I look up at her and go, oh, honey, what I never told you is I have an ectoskeleton. So in order to get bigger, I have to molt. And she
looks at me. She laugh?
Barely. And she says, what's wrong? And then two things are happening to her simultaneously. Because one, she's very maternal and loving.
Sure.
And two, she wants to vomit.
She wants to run.
So those two things are working together. So I look down and I go, I suppose sex is out of the question. And you know, my is just completely no tension, nothing, bloody. It's bloody. So I, because I'm a professional, she says, let's go to the hospital right away. And I go, no, I'm not going to the hospital. I'm not going to the hospital. I have to get some sleep. I'm exhausted. So I go into bed, you know, and
right.
She sleeps as far away from me in the bed as possible. And I lay there in the bed with my bloody and I fall right to sleep. Because that's the kind of guy I am. There's a certain kind of guy.
I might die.
Who you could take all the skin off, and he still goes to sleep.
I'm not going to sleep just from the story.
So the next morning, I call up Bruce, my doctor. I was friends with my doctor, which is always a bad idea to be friends with your doctor because you can say too many things you don't want to say. So I call him up and I go, "Hey, Bruce, this is Penn." He goes, "How you doing?" I go, "Yeah, all the skin has come off my my all of it, and it kind of healed to my boxer shorts." And my doctor goes, "Cool, I want to see that." And I go, "Yeah, is it how dangerous is it?" He goes, "I don't think it's good, Penn." And I go, "But can I just do today's shooting and be done?" And he goes, "No, you're going to come in. Go have a good time to come in. The car's coming at 9. I got to be on set." He goes, "If you don't come in, I am going to call the Board of Health and shut down your shoot." I said, "Oh, so this is serious." He said, "Yeah, come in." So I go in there, and he goes, "Let me see." And I take off my pants, and he looks and goes, "Amazing." And then his tone just changes entirely. And he goes, "We have to have a very serious talk." I go, "Yeah, what?" And he goes, "You've been lying to me, and we need, now I know this." And I say, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You're on street drugs, probably heroin. What is it?" And I go, "No, I don't do any drugs." He goes, This is toxins that have been injected into your body. This is an allergic reaction. We only see this in junkies. You are a street junkie. You are buying street junk, and you are shooting it. Let's see your arms. Let's see between your toes. This is a serious thing. You have to talk to me." And I go, "No, I don't do drugs. I don't do drugs." He goes, "What have you been eating?" I said, "Cheeseburgers." He says, "Shellfish?" "No, nothing, nothing." "What is it?" "Think." "No, can't." What do you think, Pen? "Think about anything that's been different in your life in the past 24 hours. "No, man, nothing. Nothing. Anything you've eaten? Have you got any drugs from anybody? I mean, the doctor giving you a shot?" "No." "Is there anything you've done?" "No, nothing." "Listen, man, this is a very serious thing. And if you're lying to me, you can die. This is an advanced stage of, you know, heroin problems." I go, "No." He goes, "How's the show going?" He just tried to change the subject.
Right.
I go, "Oh, it's going great." He goes, "Did you shoot any of it?" I go, "Yeah. Yesterday we shot the bees." Dead silence in the office. And he looks at me with that look that most people never get to see in their life, but I get to see fairly often because I do stupid things like this. A long pause, and he goes, "Penn, did the bees sting you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "How many times?" And I go, "I don't know, 25, 30, somewhere around there." And he goes, "Get the hell out of my office and never come back. You can't take care of yourself.
Your doctor fired you.
Get out. Just get out." I go, "What? What?" And he goes, "I asked you if there was anything injected into your system. You had 25 tiny hypodermic needles injecting toxin into your system. and you don't mention that to me. I go, this is from the bee stings, but no bee stung me on my balls. And he goes, no, it's an allergic, it's systemic. It's systemic, you idiot. And I go, is there any danger? And he goes, there's no danger. It's over. You're done. Put on your boxer shorts. I go, is there anything I can put on this? He goes, salt, for all I care. Pour salt. Get a salt shaker and just salt down your nuts. Why don't you go ahead? Maybe it'll teach you not to be so goddamn stupid. And so I leave. And then I get there and I tell my girlfriend, who's very cool, I tell her that I'm totally okay.
Right.
That it was just the bees. And sure. She says, you got stung by the bees? I go, yeah. She goes, so this is an allergic reaction. I go, yes, Marcus Welby. Yeah, fine. You know all about medicine, too. So she gets there.
Everybody but you.
Everybody but me. You would have thought of that right away, right?
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend goes into everybody. And she goes, you've got to see. You know how he usually is kind of nice and kind of tight and very pleasant?
Now he's like
Ernest Borgnine. It's like Ernest Borgnine, and it's bloody and scabby. You got to see it. So I'm walking around where we're trying to shoot a special showing my ailment to everybody on the set. And finally, and this is the punchline, CNN is in to do a story on, here's Penn and Teller and their wild ideas for a big special. Don't try this at home by Penn and Teller. Penn, what you got for me? And I said, I got something really special for you, man. And he's got the TV camera there. And I go, yesterday I was stung by a lot of bees. And he goes, oh, really? And he's the CNN guy.
Sure.
He's got like a spray on tan and stuff. I go, yeah, I was stung by a lot of bees. And he goes, oh, really? And he goes, where were you stung? I go, well, I was stung in my mouth. He goes, ooh. He's doing that kind of CNN thing. Ouch.
Oh.
Must have hurt. Boy, you guys do a lot for you, Art. And I just, I'm not wearing boxer shorts at that time because they hurt too much.
Sure.
So I just undo my pants, the Penn and Teller suit, drop my pants, and I go, look. And the cameraman comes in like he's shooting like, you know, the Mile High Massacre or something. And he comes in and I'm watching it on the monitor. And there it is, you know, just all this blood and stuff. And I go, I just wanted to give you something for your Christmas reel. So please, this is why I'm bringing this up. If anybody in the New York area, or I guess especially Atlanta, if you work for CNN, somewhere in their vaults, there is footage of Penn's bloody probably labeled that way, Penn's. So please, people, these things are only supposed to happen to me. They happen to no one else. Do not put yourself in a cage with a million bees and let them sting you as much as they want, because first, all the skin will come off your and it will hurt a lot. And second, where'd it go to next, you know?
What's that?
All the skin peeled off the top of my feet the next day.
Oh, really?
All the skin came off the top of my feet. I was looking like one of those, like, peeled people you see in, like, monster films. That's what I looked like. But I'm okay now. So, people, please stay in your seats. Do not worry about Penn's. I'll be back right after this. I'm intact. And believe me, in a year, I'm going to tell the blow dryer story.
I'm never going to sleep again.
Them all. Hang up on all the callers that are calling in to talk about. It's not polite. How are these people raised? These people are calling in to talk about the skin of my
them. I mean, what can
they're
you?
Calling in to talk about this. This
they
is a private part. This is the part on the doll that's bad touch. The swimsuit area. Okay, this is the swimsuit area.
Maybe Carol Perkins will call in.
Well, she runs a very successful place for high end dogs now.
She's
called like Harry
in.
Barker or something. She's wonderful, wonderful woman. I haven't been in touch with her, but how were you raised? Now, were you raised? Would your mother say, you know, if someone's talking about they're bleeding, you make sure you call right in and talk to them about that. You make sure you call
they're
in because
calling in to say how sorry for you they are.
I guess that's a kind of kindness.
We're your friends.
What's the appropriate? But we're not taking. I'm not going to read the Gmails.
Just
I'm not going to take the phone calls. Send cards. Send cards.
A donation to the scrotum relief fund.
But for those of you who are concerned about my scrotum, it's all better now. No,
I just want to say no one has called in about your scrotum. No one is concerned. We're sure you're fine.
There's no.
You're sitting and doing the show. You must be okay by now.
Patrick, who runs our board op, was very, very nervous.
He seemed worried.
He was very bothered. He wasn't worried because he was empathizing.
Oh, yes.
He's a sociopath. He feels no empathy for any other human beings. He can watch you die and feel nothing. He was uncomfortable because he thought I was going to show you that my scrotum was okay now. And he has this certain kind of scrotum phobia. He's very worried that someone's going to throw him their scrotum. I'm not going to show you my scrotum. Right now. Maybe the day of the blow dryer story. Let me just tell you. For those of you, there's some people in this world who have heard both the blow dryer story and the bees story. I got to tell you, the blow dryer story is much more bothersome, more intense, and more insane than the bee story.
Wow.
It really is. It really is where I separated myself from normal people. It was a really important. Well, there were other little nudges, but this was the big step took. The huge step that I took was into this.
You can talk about the state fair thing.
I want to talk about the state fair. Yeah,
sure.
Every year, Michael Goudeau and I go to the state fair convention.
Sure.
It really is the happiest place on earth.
it's really fun.
It's fabulous. And we always, this is the thing that's about us, that's, I think, more of our scummy nature, right? You make good money.
Yeah.
You know, you make good money, really good money. You have three jobs. All three jobs.
Almost a 20th of what you make. Almost a 20th. I think for this contract, they just knocked off a couple of zeros.
Okay. But you make good money.
I make good money.
You made more money than you ever thought you were going to make when you learned to juggle.
Absolutely.
You make fine money. And I make good money.
Yeah.
I've never complained about the amount of money I made. And if CBS, big honchos are listening,
we don't make nearly enough. I'm sorry, we were lying.
Not everything I say on the radio, I mean. That's all I'm saying. We make plenty of money. And yet, the State Fair Convention comes to town, and we scam
we
our way
in. We weasel our way in.
We weasel our way in. How much would it cost for us to go as human beings?
Probably 200 each or something.
200
I think
each.
It's expensive. I think you have to have a booth or.
You have to have a booth? You can't just walk in there and then a walk around path?
You have to sign up. And
but
so,
$200. And we go in there and we
as
make
other
somebody.
People. Sure.
We make people who make no money compared to us.
Right.
We make them take their badges. Sneak other badges in their pockets, come out, hand us the badges, and then I go in with a badge with someone else's name on to the state fair.
And somehow security does not know.
It's really.
Hi, Mr. Gillette.
I'm just such a weasel, you know, and we're such weasels. And we go in, and it's great because there are stilt walkers.
Yeah, a lot
and
of
there
stilt
are,
walkers
I don't know why that
clowns.
Was the first one I thought of.
Free sodas.
Play with snakes, free sodas. Anything you would see at a state fair.
Inflatable stages.
They go there to pimp it.
Monster trucks,
everything.
Kangaroos.
So it's kind of the best of the kangaroos?
There were kangaroos, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see the kangaroos.
Well, see, you were busy.
I don't know, what was I busy doing?
Well, you know, a lot of people talk to you at the State Fair Convention that don't talk to me.
And they're clowns. It's lousy with clowns. And impersonators. They're impersonators of people.
And hypnotist. Hypnotist is the one.
Hypnotism is one of the worst acts
everywhere.
In the world. Anybody who does a hip act, and that's what they call them in our business, is the hip acts. Hypnotism.
Because you'd rather break your hip than do one.
That's so terrible. Come on up, and now you're going to quack like a duck. Oh, man. Only smart people can be hypnotized. It's so embarrassing. In the state fair, people hire them, and I just hope that goes away. And then they were like impersonators of people I didn't know, like country western people. Uh-huh. There's country western impersonators, and then there's people that sell the shows they
cups.
Show for water and cups and stuff. But we saw what I believe was one of the funniest things we ever saw. They hire people to dress up in costumes to try to sell their thing.
Sure.
So we saw
I believe
two.
It's the acts themselves.
No, this was not the acts themselves,
well,
I don't believe.
Okay, this one probably wasn't.
And there was one kid dressed as a Power Ranger, right?
Yeah.
Very tall.
Skinny mime dressed as a
skinny
Power Ranger.
Mime. And by tall, skinny mime, we mean a young gay man.
A
young gay man dressed as a Power Ranger. He's walking around. So he's got tights and his package
showing. Not so much power, a lot of Ranger.
A lot of Ranger. He's got his package showing and he's walking around.
Sure.
And he's probably getting paid, $30 a day?
Yeah, no, it's probably good.
Probably pretty
those
good.
Geeks pay good. Yeah. Pay very well. I used to make like $25-$30 an hour as a gorilla.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's good. It's a good gig.
So he's making for an 8-hour day. He's making, what, $200?
$200, yeah, sure.
Not bad at all. Then next to him, he has another kid. And the kid is dressed as an intergalactic.
It's a midget in a mushroom costume.
But no, it's not. This was a young midget.
Yes. Right?
They're both like high school age. And this midget.
Starting out his midget career.
Incidentally, the final.
Right. The whole thing is, you're choked up about this.
I'm very choked up about this. I could cry at this. This could be like Bruce Willis. I have to get a little drink or something.
Okay, take your time.
This kid is dressed up as an intergalactic tomato.
Mushroom.
Mushroom is a mushroom?
It's a mushroom of some sort.
But the Power Ranger kid is
big
probably.
Big round, no arms.
6'2".
Yeah.
Probably weighs 140 pounds. just Joey Ramone.
Sure.
And then the mushroom. Is the kid could have been much over 5 foot.
Yeah. Around four.
And they're walking together. And the mushroom costume does not allow.
Big foam rubber thing. You can't really see out of it.
Can't see it all. Can't see it all. Now, we don't understand any of what's going on. We've never met these people. We don't know their lives, their dreams. We don't know what they're trying for.
We're passing them in the hall.
We're passing them in the hall. And there are a set of stairs. And the Power Ranger is walking along next to his friend. The mushroom. And they get to the stairs, and the Power Ranger says to the mushroom, just as we're walking by, the Power Ranger says to the mushroom, watch the stairs this time.
It's the this time. If only we'd been there the time before.
Watch the stairs this time. Which means there was a moment when a kid in a mushroom costume was falling down the stairs.
Without arms.
Without arms. It must have been just glorious. Must have been the most beautiful thing ever.
You can't put your arms up to stop your head from hitting the ground. It's really funny. Mm. Speaking of someone who's done this.
You worked in a gorilla costume?
I have, yeah. I was the Gorelli Gorilla. For Gorelli mopeds.
Now, where that's in San Francisco,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Gorelli? Is Gorelli moped still there?
I don't think they are, no.
They went out of business?
Nah, I just.
Was this a rental gorilla place? Or?
No. Wait, what do you mean, the moped place?
They rented mopeds?
No, they sold mopeds. They sold mopeds, did moped repair. My job was to ride around in a gorilla suit.
Did you run errands, too?
I ran errands quite often. I was sent to Sears to buy tools in a gorilla suit.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have the
I had a credit card. I had a credit card and a gorilla suit, and they did not make me take off the head to charge the tools.
You're kidding me.
They were so excited about having a gorilla there with a sign on.
But you kept the head. You kept the head on?
Absolutely kept the head on the whole time.
All the time? Just
all
for fun?
All the time. Just for fun.
Because you're a funny guy?
I thought that was funnier.
How hot was it in the gorilla suit?
It was very hot in the gorilla suit. But it was San Francisco, so it wasn't quite as bad. Although, I was flying. Speaking of bee stories, I was driving this moped along, and a bee flew in the eye of the gorilla suit.
Oh, man.
I had a terrible, terrible crash. Threw the head off one of the rare times I threw the head off.
You had a crash?
Crashed on the moped, yeah.
Did it sting you?
No, it did not. I crashed and jumped and threw my head.
I get stung 25 times
and kept doing
a TV show.
You were doing a TV show. You weren't riding a moped. In the moped, you would have bailed. Trust me.
Did you ever see the bee?
I never saw the bee other than the moment it came in to the eye. It was very big.
It was a big bee?
It was a big bee.
Like a bumblebee?
Big black bee, yeah.
Big black bee? I don't think
so. Solo bee.
Not a honeybee.
Not a honeybee.
Not a honeybee. So some form of wasp.
That's
miscaused.
The big fat bee.
I don't think. Really?
Yeah.
Really? I don't know. I guess my entomology isn't what it should be.
You were honeybees. I was the big fat bee right in the eye.
Yeah. Wow.
I started wearing goggles. I wore goggles on the mask from that moment.
Outside the mask?
Yeah, outside the mask.
And did you have a route that you were supposed to drive every day?
No. Just out, $25 an hour, drive around. Wear a sign that says, even a gorilla can drive a Gorelli moped. Yeah.
And did people like it? Did they like honking and stuff?
Yeah, they honked and waved and stuff. And, I was a big celebrity for a few weeks.
How long did you have the job?
Probably 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Why? Why didn't you go longer?
I think it probably wasn't generating the business they had hoped.
Oh, was this your idea? Did you want to pitch them?
No, it was not my
idea. Hey, listen. Hey, Mr. Jenkins, my name's Michael Goudeau, and I'm going to ride around in a moped in a gorilla suit, and you're going to double your business in a week.
Somehow they heard about me and tracked me down and said, would you be the guy?
Did you own your own gorilla suit?
No, that was theirs.
I bought a friend of mine, Mark Garland, when we first started making money off Broadway, and I had disposable income for the first time in my life, because before that I was carny trash.
Right.
I bought Mark Garland a chicken suit.
Wow.
A really big, full-size chicken. It was very expensive. And it was really good. It had the feet and the wattle and everything. Right. A big chicken suit. And he would wear it. You know, he would just, every once in a while, you'd like be over Mark's house. And he'd come out of the bedroom in the chicken suit. And you would just laugh your ass off. There was nothing funnier. And one day, Eddie Gorodetsky, who I've billboarded here before as the funniest man in the world, Eddie Gorodetsky asked to borrow the chicken suit. And Eddie Gorodetsky... took the, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell this story, but it's funny enough I'm going to tell it. And we're not on in L.A., so maybe Eddie won't hear it. Oh, yeah, sure. Like, Eddie doesn't know anyone in New York. And Eddie took it home, the chicken suit.
Yeah.
And he went home that night, and he told his girlfriend that he was living with to take off all her clothes and get into bed because he had something really special for her. He said, strip
Eddie
naked.
Could be the funniest guy in the world. He's certainly
strip
heading
naked,
down the road.
Lie on the bed. I get something really special for you. And then he went into the bathroom for like 15 minutes, and there were candles lit all over. Right. And Eddie Gorodetsky came out of the bathroom in the chicken suit and said, I'm here, and walked around the bed in the chicken suit. And he said he's never heard a person laugh louder. It had to be the funniest thing ever. So that you go. We've covered now my scrotum. We've covered the Power Ranger and the mushroom falling down the stairs. Coming up in the next section, you do not want to miss this. We're going to tell the story of the monkey and the dwarf. The monkey and the dwarf is coming up. Not the blow dryer, not the zero G, but the monkey and the dwarf. After this. Ben Gillette on Free FM, where we talk about bloody scrotums and mushrooms falling down the stairs. That's what freedom is. 866-313-3733. Get your hand away from that. We're not taking any calls. They want me to give the number. He holds up a sign. Happy Jack holds up a sign that says, give the number for calls. He can't make us take calls. He can hold up that stupid sign that says, give out the number as much as he wants. I gave out the number. I'm not taking calls.
He just might turn one on.
Not taking any calls at all. I'm just not taking calls.
All right.
PenRadio@gmail.com, and I'm not even taking any
Power
Gmails.
Power Rangers are on line three.
I'm not going to take the Power Rangers. I'm not going to take anybody doing the voice of a
Mushroom's
falling mushroom.
Mushroom's
on line two. Nope. And I don't want to hear other people who were stung by bees and had different parts of their body.
Your doctor's on line six.
My scrotum came off. You can't beat that. I don't care if
seven.
You lost an eye. I don't care if you lost an eye. You cannot beat my scrotum without paying a lot of money.
President and the Pope are both calling in.
No.
Skipping them.
No.
All right. No calls.
No calls at all.
No calls. 866-313-FREE. No calls. Please feel free to not call.
You've memorized the number, haven't you?
Yes,
have you noticed that every time I give the number, I look down?
I did notice. Yes, you have it written on your arm. Yeah.
I want to tell the story about the monkey and the dwarf.
Okay.
This is another story. And I want to apologize in advance and that it doesn't involve any physical injury to me. But it does give you a little insight into how my life sometimes gets out of control. This is after the girlfriend that I was involved with when my scrotum peeled off.
Yeah.
This is after the girlfriend I was involved with when the mushroom fell on the stairs. And this is before my wife.
Okay.
The girlfriend during this time was the girlfriend who was the actress in New York City.
Sure.
This is not the girlfriend who was involved in the blow dryer story. Who was actually before the girlfriend who was involved with the bloody scrotum story.
You don't think this is a conspiracy of some sort?
Some of you may need to be taking notes on this to keep track of it. Here's what happens. I'm having a barbecue at my house.
Yes.
I'm inviting a lot of people over. There's going to be 75 people over to my house for a barbecue. And my barbecues are odd barbecues for America because there's no alcoholic beverages whatsoever. And during that time, we knew a man who had a monkey.
I know a man who has a monkey. Get him in here.
Yeah. We had made friends.
You asked that he come in a sailor suit.
I did. I wanted a monkey in a sailor suit.
Not the man. Yeah, the monkey. The monkey in the sailor suit.
He had a monkey. Now, I want to tell you, because the phones are lighting up already, they're saying, now, do you mean monkey, Pen, or do you mean gorilla?
Ape.
Do you mean new world monkey, or do you mean old world monkey? Are we talking tail? It was a chimpanzee. It was
no
a
tail.
Chimpanzee.
Old
and
world.
The chimpanzee, old world, chimpanzee monkey, is a gorilla. Okay?
Yeah.
It is a gorilla. It's an ape.
It's an ape.
It's an ape.
It's a great ape.
It's a great ape.
It's a great ape.
Great ape. Chimpanzee, great ape. But called for the purposes of this story, monkey. Because monkey is the funny word. Monkey, 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 monkey.
His name was Tarzan.
Monkey. His name was Tarzan. And he was a famous monkey.
Yes.
He was a Hollywood monkey.
A Hollywood monkey.
He had been in Babe in the City.
Pig in the City, that's right.
Babe, Pig in the City. And he had done it in drag.
His movie career was a little better than mine.
Because he played a female monkey.
He played a female monkey.
But he was actually a male monkey.
That's how good an actor he was.
Very,
he pulled it off.
And a good actor.
That was very believable.
Good actor because he was just a little stupider than De Niro. Just barely. And he could do amazing stuff as a monkey because
yes.
he could change his own diaper.
Yes.
Which is a plus. If
you, a big plus if you have a monkey.
If you have a monkey, changing its own diaper is a cool thing. And you could say to him, Tarzan, get me a Diet Coke out of the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And he would go and do it.
That's right.
Now,
I went to many restaurants, actually, with Tarzan.
Yeah, we went to a restaurant with Tarzan.
Yeah, we sat outside and ate outside. Chips and salsa.
Yeah,
because
the monkeys eat what we eat. He eats chips and salsa, and he drinks his beverage, and he's yep. always funny. And one of the things is the girlfriend at the time, who was an actress. I'm not yes. going to say her name because maybe she doesn't want to be involved in this story. But she was an actress on a television program, and she and I had had many discussions over how there's nothing funnier in the world than a smoking monkey. Now, I will open up the phones on this show often, and people correct me, and they tell me, you're wrong about this, you're wrong about that. Islam is not this. Muslims don't believe this.
We're not taking any
calls. You're wrong
on
about
this.
The politics. But there, I know, I have as sure as fundamentalists believe that Jesus Christ is the body of God risen from the dead, I believe that a smoking monkey is the funniest thing in the world. So I'd hired our friend to bring over Tarzan to the house, and my girlfriend went into the living room. There was a monkey sitting on the couch smoking, and she laughed herself sick. So we had so much fun with the monkey, we decided to have a barbecue and invite the monkey and invite all our friends.
Sure.
So all our friends were coming. Paul Provenza,
yes.
who wanted to play with monkeys. Monkeys was coming, and Lawrence
and
O'Donnell Jr.
Have a great time playing with
the monkeys. Now, there's some things you need to know about monkeys.
Yes.
They are really strong. An 80-pound monkey is as strong as a 250-pound man.
Easily.
Easily. If you put your hand around a monkey's wrist and hold it tight, the monkey can peel your fingers back. Chimps are really dangerous. They're really strong. And Tarzan, the reason he was retired from show business is that Tarzan was entering puberty.
Right.
Tarzan was starting to get sexual urges, and Tarzan also had to fight for his place in the pod.
Right.
Now, the way you control a monkey, and for those of you who want to control monkeys, this is important, is that you must be the leader of their pod.
Sure.
Right? They look up to you. So, to the monkey, I was a big silverback ape. You
right.
know,
sure.
I controlled the pod because I was the biggest and had the lowest voice. And you have to give ground rules to monkeys, I mean, people around monkeys. You have to say to them, if women are around, they cannot give the monkey a command. Monkeys will not be told what to do by a woman. So we had to tell people, if the monkey needs to do something, you need to tell a man. And the feminists among us were going, but that's not fair. It's not fair! It's a monkey! Okay. That whole argument. What that whole camp came from? Because, you know, also monkeys.
Monkey anger.
Pure monkey anger. I don't like the fact that people think that they can make a decision on biology like that. You know, monkeys act a certain way, and there is a certain kind of sexism inherent in being a monkey. Just is.
There you go.
Sorry, you know. And monkeys also, and this is one of the reasons if you have a monkey around, it's a great idea. Monkeys will also grab human women sexually. If you're a woman and you're around a little monkey, they will reach down your blouse and they will tweak your nipple. They will hold your breasts.
Warning, warning.
Warning. They will reach down your pants. They will reach down the front. They will reach up your skirt. That's what monkeys do, right? There's no monkey human resources. There's no monkey recourse. They do whatever they want. If you have a monkey around, you will be sexually harassed. It's as simple as that, okay? So we're telling them that. And we're telling them, you know, do
right.
not fight off the monkey. They don't really have to say that, but it's just part of our little thing. We're on a roll there, so don't fight the monkey. So then you get to see friends of yours who are women felt up by monkeys, which is great. So I had invited a bunch of people over, plus I invited the monkey. And then the night before the barbecue, at the end of our show, our good friend Arturo came by. And Arturo is a Mexican dwarf. That's his job. He's from Mexico.
Not only his
and
job.
He's also what he is.
The circumstances and, of his birth.
And, you know.
Please don't prejudge him.
There's nothing to prejudge. Arturo is one of my good friends. When my mom died, you know, Arturo was like you. The next morning after that, he was over the house to be around me. He was terrific. He's a good friend. I adore him. He plays the part of the dwarf in the Excalibur show. Great guy, right? And he's also worked Ringling Brothers with you.
Yeah, Ringling Brothers. And now he's back, I think, with Kevin James.
Oh, he's back with Kevin James again?
I'm not sure. I think so.
Later, as I tell the story, I'm going to do Arturo's voice.
You are. Oh, boy.
It's not correct.
Now you're
so afterwards, I said to Arturo, I said, we're having a barbecue tomorrow. We invite you? And he said, oh, no, man. That's him.
That was it?
He sounds exactly like Cheech Marin.
He does.
And I said, we're having a barbecue tomorrow. Why don't you come over? And he goes, oh, man, I'd love to do that, man. Great. So then I talked to Godot, who's sitting across from me right here. And I say to Godot, he says, you know, we're inviting this monkey over. We have to be very careful. There's some safety issues. There's no young boys coming over, right? No young kids. And I said, there might be a baby. He said, the monkey's fine with babies, but you can't have anybody around the monkey's size or he'll start fighting for dominance.
Exactly. Hey, I'm bigger than you.
Right. So you can't have young boys around a monkey is very, very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
So I say to Godot, no problem. No problem at all. No. Oh, but I did invite Arturo. And then you gave me a look, which you've very rarely given me, of just complete and utter disgust. And you said,
yes.
You invited a dwarf to a party with a monkey? And I thought you were circus. I thought you had some circus background. Don't you have some circus? Didn't you work
this.
In the circus? I thought you would. And it's like I've just said to him, you know, water and ice they freeze? With water freezing? I mean, it's just like he can't believe that I don't know.
It's a basic principle of life.
Exactly. It's
circus
like inviting
life.
It's like inviting Kevin Costner and Bruce Willis to the same
you
party.
You just don't do it.
He's just like, do not do it. You invited Arturo and Tarzan to the same party? I thought you were circus.
They hate each other.
Hate. And I go, oh, what happens? And he goes, the monkey's almost as tall as Arturo, which means he has to fight for dominance, which means he'll fight to the death. And he has the power of a 250-pound. He's evil. He'll bite off his fingers. I have seen a monkey take an acrobat's thigh muscle and rip it out and look at it. That's how strong they are. Never mind your bloody scrotum. You are going to have a monkey trying to kill a human being, and that's going to be your party. And I thought you were circus. So now I have to make the most difficult phone call of my life. I have to call Arturo. And I have to say, Arturo, hi, this is Penn. He goes, hi, man, what do you got? I go, about the party tomorrow. Yeah, man, what do you want? Want to bring some chips or something, man? You don't drink, right? No
sodas.
Beer, man.
Bring sodas.
No. We have someone that we invited that might be a problem. I got no problems with nobody in town, man. Anybody says they have a problem with me, they are lying, man. No, it's you know a guy named Josh Weinstein? No, man, I don't know him. He's an animal trainer. Do you know him? Oh, man, I love animal trainers, man. I worked in the circus, man. I worked cats. I worked elephants. He's coming by. Oh, good, man. I want to talk, you know, because I spent a lot of time in the circus. I know. Is Godot going to be there, man? Yeah, Godot's going to be there. Oh, yeah, he was in the circus with me, man. Yeah, good. And he's also bringing a monkey. And what? he's bringing Tarzan, a chimp. Man, what are you doing, man? They kill dwarves. They hate little people, man. They're going to kill me, man, in your house. No, man, there's going to be a it's a chimp, and it's going to be there. And he goes, oh, man. Oh, you telling me I can't come? No. You're still inviting the monkey? Yeah, we're still inviting the monkey. So he said to me, listen, man, monkeys hate water. So I will come to the party, and I will take all my keys out and everything, leave your pool open. If the monkey comes at me, I'll jump in the pool. So we had the whole party. Now, we're running out of time here, and there's another 5 minutes to the story, but I've got to wrap it up. And I will tell you that we did have both Tarzan and Arturo at the party at the same time. Time. And my girlfriend at the time said, oh, the monkey just loves me. I'll just hold the monkey. And then we brought Arturo around the corner. And you know something? One of these days, I'll finish the story. I'll finish the story
but
about
Penn. Arturo's so fast, isn't he?
Man, on that monkey was mean. Ben Gillette, Las Vegas.
Aww.
Check out Ben Gillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.